Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser. Beat Mix, you're a loser.
Who is ready to beat Mix? I know Alan from Seattle is. Alan, are you there?
I am here.
What's up, Alan? Steve?
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you for asking. Steve, you got to get out of here now.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, Alan will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Ready.
Maine Coon and Sphinx are breeds of what animal?
Cat.
Correct. Theodore Roosevelt National Park is located in which U.S. state?
Wyoming?
No.
Montana?
No.
Nevada?
No. Which classic arcade game was the best-selling of all time?
Pac-Man?
No.
Mario?
No.
Arcade game. Tetris?
No. What kind of juice is in a tequila sunrise?
Orange juice.
That is right. What symbol shares a button with the number 4 on a standard keyboard?
Is it the and symbol?
No.
Pass.
What member of KISS was the star child?
Ooh, Ace?
No.
I don't know. Pass.
Who plays Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad and Birds of Prey?
Margot Robbie.
That's right. Which planet in our solar system has the largest ocean?
Ours?
No.
Jupiter.
Yes. How many films are tied for having won the most Academy Awards?
3.
Yes. That was a great guess right at the end there. Alan,
sure
you got
was.
5 correct.
Not bad.
Not my best.
But you know what? I'm going to intimidate Steve with a very crazy glare.
You should see this glare, guys. It's very scary.
Danny, can I sit over at that end of the desk?
Yeah.
Are you feeling intimidated?
I'm very nervous.
You should be. Steve, are you ready?
I think I am.
Yeah, Daddy, let's go!
That's the turn that I like.
Maine Coon and Sphinx are breeds of what animal?
Cat.
Correct. Theodore Roosevelt National Park is located in which U.S. state?
I'm going to go with Colorado.
No.
New Hampshire.
No.
North Dakota.
Yes. Which classic arcade game was the best-selling of all time?
Yes. Miss Pac-Man?
No.
Halo.
No.
Grand Theft Auto.
No. What kind of juice is in a tequila sunrise?
Orange juice.
Correct.
Orange.
What symbol shares a button with the number 4 on a standard keyboard?
I'm going to say pound.
No.
Exclamation.
No.
Money.
Yes. Which member of KISS was the star child?
Oh, my favorite. Oh, I don't know if he's my favorite. I like Ace Frehley too. But it's Paul Stanley.
It is.
Paul Stanley's my favorite.
Who plays Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad and Birds of Prey?
Danny V.
No.
Taryn Daly.
No.
Ryan Castle.
No. Which planet in our solar system has the largest ocean?
That would be Uranus, Taryn.
It would not be.
Earth?
No.
Mars?
No. How many films are tied for having won the most Academy Awards?
Three.
Yes. Steve?
I got so lucky on a few.
You
of those.
Got five correct, and that is a tie this morning, 5-5.
Here we go again, Steve.
Here we go again.
How many times have you and Alan tied?
We tie all the time, but that's a personal question.
Well, neither of you knew.
I have no idea.
Which classic arcade game is the best selling of all time? Danny, do you have a guess?
No.
Oh. Is it Minecraft?
It's not. This is an arcade game, a classic arcade game.
Galaga.
No.
Super Punch, Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
No.
Double Dragon.
No.
Elevator.
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders.
Mm-hmm.
I should have just guessed that. Tatum loves playing that when we go to like round one or like the big version. Like that's is that what it sounds like? I don't remember. If I had the space, like a basement, I would love to set up like a giant, get one of those giant Space Invaders games that you see at the arcades nowadays. Because
yes.
Tatum loves it with the big gun.
Yeah,
it's
we need so one great. In the studio here.
I'm okay with that.
Let's expense it.
You know what? It's a good thing they don't give us the company credit card because we would do that.
Well, congratulations on your big tie, Steve. People will have an opportunity to play Beat Migs live in the flesh this Saturday because we're going to be out in Puyallup at Sunrise Village. The Red Dog is the location, and we're calling it Sunrise de Mayo. People can bring their kids. They can bring their furry friends. It's dog friendly. And people can get info on the party at KISW.com.
The Daily Mix Show. Something got you bent and now you need to vent. Or you did something bad and you need to repent. Well, slide into our VMs. Yeah, baby. It's time to slide into our VMs.
We're sliding and sliding and sliding.
On the Daily Mix Show.
Want to leave us a voice message? Yeah, you should. Head to the Odyssey app, and there's a little feature, a little button.
Yep.
You can take care of it right there.
We got some good ones. Somebody wants to talk about an issue that they have with their husband over a dishwasher. I definitely want to hear your take on this, Taryn Daly. Also, somebody has an issue with Shedeur Sanders. But first, let's start off with this voice message that was literally just left like a couple of minutes ago on our app.
Hey, Lucian, this is Nathan the Garbage Man, buddy. This one's for you. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Awesome. And Lucian's our 5-year-old friend who was made fun of for having fingernail polish by some garbage man and a recycling man. And I love all the garbage men and everyone in the sanitation world that have been calling in and texting and showing love for Lucian.
So great.
You have to send that to his mom.
Yeah, I will.
Once again.
Hey, Lucian, this is Nathan the Garbage Man, buddy. Also, this one's for you.
Also, is he being chased by the cops?
I wonder what the top speed of a garbage truck is.
Oh, I wonder. What do you think? 45? Is it going to hit 60?
Maybe 50.
50?
Yeah.
So my husband goes behind me and rearranges the dishwasher. After I put the dishes in, he goes and he puts them in a different order. I could just save my time, leave the dishes in the sink, and he could just do it himself.
I have opinions.
Please tell me.
So first of all, in my household, the roles are reversed.
Okay.
Every time my husband loads the dishwasher, it looks like it was done by a wild opossum or something like that.
Okay.
And I have to go in there and fix it like a Swedish architect.
So do you guys argue about this?
I mean, I wouldn't say argue, but like I have taken photos of how he loads the dishwasher and sent it to a cousin of mine who is also very passionate about the right and wrong way to load the dishwasher.
One of the greatest words of advice, we had a lot of great words of advice when we met with a pastor before we got married, kind of like a marriage counsel marriage. You know how do you do that before you get married? And one of the things that him and his wife brought up that I thought was just so helpful in our relationship was like, look, if you get mad about how they put something in a cabinets or all that, then do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, but don't bitch at them for doing it what they think is the right way. Like, I've had that conversation with my wife because, like, I don't think she really likes the way I fold the towels. But it's like, if you don't like the way I fold the towels, then maybe you do the towels and wash, do the laundry, or just appreciate that I'm trying.
I will say, after years of training, Brad has gotten much better training. At loading the dishwasher. It's not perfect. There's still room for improvement, but we're getting somewhere.
Do you give him a treat every time he does it right?
Of course.
Okay, good. Do you give him an attaboy?
Yes.
All right, let's check out this voice message. This is one's about Shedeur Sanders, everybody's favorite draft pick.
Am I the only one that does not give a f*** about Shedeur Sanders getting pranked? Is it really that big of a deal? He got f***ing pranked. We all prank people. Now all of a sudden we're losing our minds and finding people hundreds of thousands of dollars.
As a woman after my own heart right there, because I'm torn. I don't know if I'm just insensitive, and it could be. I don't know what you guys think. I understand that you have to put the fines out. You have to teach a lesson. I have no issues with the teams getting involved, and everyone's like upset about that part because, the coach, it's hindsight. Maybe could have been smarter. And I don't think he ever thought his 21-year-old son's going to grab a phone number and prank it. But the outrage that some people are having about this, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
There's like a lot bigger things going on to be concerned about in the world.
I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be okay.
I think he's moved on. I don't think he even cared that much in the first place.
I thought he handled it really well. He was just like, look, yeah, that was a childish move, but whatever. Like, I got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
Like, people are acting like as if like somebody just like, you know, like just cut his foot off. Because I was watching First Take and they made the announcement about all the fines, and they had their round table of people, which included Ryan Clark, Lewis Reddick, and Stephen A. Smith, and Chris Russo as well. And I don't know why, but as I'm watching it, I'm getting like more and more mad because of just how mad they are about this. So like, here's Ryan Clark from ESPN's First Take talking about it.
When you are in charge of this sort of sensitive information, it is your job to keep it confidential. Jeff Albrick, being at his home, may have gotten too comfortable, but
we're acting like as if like they had his credit card info and somebody has sold that to the dark web. It was a phone number to a phone that's not even his. It's a draft phone.
In the privacy of his own home. It's not like he like left the iPad out at a bar or something like that.
You never can be in a situation where you have this sort of information and you don't protect it with your life, because this is not only your career, but this also affects many other people.
I guess I just wouldn't necessarily think I need to protect it, like that information from my child. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he expected that was going to happen.
No, I do feel for the coach, because it's just like, man, if the team's getting mad at him, and I understand that you have to get the fines and you have to teach somebody a lesson, but it's just like, did you really think? I bet every coach has left this kind
Absolutely.
Of stuff out. And again, it's not like he left out like a social security number. Oh, and now here's Lewis Reddick now going off about it.
This kind of information cannot be accessible to people in your family because they don't have any business having it. Like, who's to say that his son couldn't potentially, or someone else couldn't potentially have access to any other kind of information that Jeff Albrick has?
That always drives me nuts. The whole what if? What if he did this? What if he did that?
Like, we can't play that game.
That would compromise the integrity of the Atlanta Falcons, what they're trying to get done as a football team. What would be interesting is to hear the conversation that he had with his son about this.
Okay, now that I would love to be a fly on the wall.
100%. I want to know how he's being reprimanded.
Because this is a 21-year-old young man who did this. This isn't some 14, 15-year-old.
Yeah, you can't really like take away the car or like ground them or restrict their cell phone usage when they're 21 years old. What is the process?
I think you just take his car and you bring Shedeur Sanders over and let him have a sledgehammer and just go to town. Like, this is what you get.
Yeah.
And which might be a better way to handle it as opposed to how Stephen A. Smith wants to handle it.
I feel bad for Jeff Albrick. He has a $100,000 fine, and obviously that's some money. The man ain't walking around making tens of millions of dollars or anything like that.
Jeff Albrick did start an OnlyFans, just in case if you want to help him out, because that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the other side to this is an incredible embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
That 21-year-old kid, Jax, should have had his ass whipped, number 21 one.
21-year-old man.
21-year-old, yeah, all right. He should have his ass whipped.
Man, he's a man. Not a very smart man.
And apparently, it wasn't Shedeur that wasn't the only person that they pranked. They pranked the guy that went third as well, or somebody pranked them. There was a few other people that got pranked. Obviously, the big one is Shedeur Sanders, just because of how drastic of a drop he had from what was supposed to be a first-round pick to becoming a fifth-round pick.
So high level.
Yeah.
It was a great prank, though.
Yeah, I mean, Danny, are you heartbroken? I mean, are you mad about the fact that he got pranked like how some people are?
No, I've completely forgot about the story almost every single day when I go home, so I don't care at all whatsoever.
We should prank Danny then.
Yeah!
That's going to be my new mission in life. We're going to get him good.
They just need to call him and be like, hey, we have a dozen roses. We want to send them to your significant other. Who is that person? And see who Shedeur Sanders says.
The Daily Mix Show.
We are going to be kicking it in Puyallup on Saturday in Sunrise Village. The location is the Red Dog, and we are calling it Sunrise de Mayo. Dog friendly, bring the critters, and that includes your kid critters. Get all the info at KISW.com. We'll see you Saturday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In case you've not heard about the prank call heard around the world, it was Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, who made the call to Shedeur Sanders during the NFL draft. So now the Falcons have to pay a fine.
Yes.
Jeff Ulbrich has to pay a fine.
Yes.
And this is the ESPN News report all about it.
First take this morning out of the NFL. The NFL has fined the Falcons $250,000 and defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft. Okay.
Okay.
How soon until the son can ask dad for some money? Hey, Dad, can I borrow $50? I want to go get some pizza with my friends.
I would not dare.
He's like, we're not there yet, buddy.
No.
We're just not there.
The iPad was left open, and so he just kind of took advantage of that. And
yeah.
He made more than one prank call, but that's obviously the most high-level prank call that he made to a player. But then Jeff did do a press conference where he apologized for all of this.
My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action. And I fully respect the punishment. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. Again, I'm deeply sorry for our actions. Obviously not happy and shocked, so I made the Falcons aware of the situation. Our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize, which we were able to do. The Sanders family, Shedeur, and Coach Sanders were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this.
That's what I've heard. Like, they're just like, yeah, it was childish. And then let's just move on.
Bigger fish to fry out there.
So how do you handle, like, how do you prove that you've moved on, gotten better? Like, do we have to wait till next year's draft and then everything happens? And then they're like, look, we didn't prank anybody. We're good.
Hey, we moved on. See? Has there ever been a time that your parents, Steve, over the years ever had to apologize for something stupid that you did?
Yeah, there was one that I cost my parents a good chunk of change. It ended up becoming a nickname for a while. They called me Hansel because I had to put my hands. It's a stupid nickname. But I had to put my hands in my pockets anytime we would go to any kind of store, any kind of like mall, like at the time, like the Macy's or those kind of places. Because when I was a kid, I wanted to touch everything. And one time we were in like an expensive plate and like, you know, like the glassware.
Fine china.
And I had my hands out and I was walking down the aisle and I knocked over a bunch of things. There was a few hundred dollars in damages. So they had to apologize, but also then had to pay on top. Granted, not $100,000, but you know, they still had to pay several hundred dollars. And my dad was not happy.
Oh no.
Yeah. So that sucked. What about you?
Oh, I mean, there's definitely been
a few. You had to apologize for Barrett.
I mean, the time that he barfed all over me and we were on a shuttle bus going to the airport, that was pretty bad.
I mean, he did give a good reason why.
I'm sick of you.
Yeah, he threw up like all over me, all over the shuttle bus. And I'm like, we have to catch a flight. Like, I can't clean this up all the way, you know?
Did you tip him well?
Of course, but it was horrifying.
How much did you give Barrett for that?
Oh, God. It was pretty bad. 206-803-ROCK, has there ever been a time that your parents had to apologize for something stupid that you did? Or have you ever had to apologize on behalf of your kid?
The Daily Mix Show.
We have all had that moment where our parents had to apologize for something dumb that we did.
No.
Or when have you had to apologize on behalf of your kid?
Still no.
206-803-ROCK. It probably didn't cost you $100,000 like it did for the coach of the Falcons, but what was that moment for you? 206-803-ROCK. Your calls after Nirvana. When did your parents have to apologize for something totally boneheaded that you did as a kid? Or when did you have to make that apology on behalf of your child? 206-803-ROCK. Steve, we have someone on hold who did significant damage at their school as a child. Their parents had to apologize for that.
Went into a full-on rage.
We're going to talk to them in just a second. But first, Katie from Puyallup, when did you have to apologize for something your kid did?
Hola. So when we were living in Vegas, we took my son out to the cafe at Sam's Club, and we were sitting next to a heavyset lady who was sitting on a motor cart, and he pointed right at her, and he said, "Hey, you!" And then he made the motion with his finger at his stomach, and he was like, I can tell that you're going to have a baby.
Oh, no.
And I was mortified. I've never scooped up my kids and hot dogs so fast in my life. I think I did it in one fell swoop. Man, I got out of there so fast.
So I take it she wasn't pregnant.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, that's a valuable lesson. Yeah, that your kid learned at a very young age to never comment on whether or not somebody is pregnant.
Because oftentimes you're wrong.
Yeah, even if you know you're right. even if you were in the room when they consummated this child, you still don't want to do that.
206-803-ROCK. James from Kent. When did your parents have to apologize on your behalf?
Good morning. Good morning. I was in elementary school. It was a long time ago, but this is back when computers were, you know, everyone didn't have computers back then. And I got in trouble in school and got sent to the principal's office. And I was so mad at the principal and the teachers that he had this little rickety bookcase that was in his office. And so I put both of my feet on the wall and grabbed this bookcase to knock it over, and it landed on his desk, hitting the monitor onto the floor, and it broke. And as soon as that happened, my mom walks into the principal's office.
Great timing, Mom.
There was just an earthquake. Yeah. You just missed it.
So how'd that end up for you?
Let's just say she tried a new belt.
Oh!
And it worked really well.
I wish I could be inside the mind of the principal. And also today's National Principal Day, so this is a great story for that. Which I think is hilarious. But imagine being the principal while all that's going on. You have this kid that's under 10 going into full-on rage mode.
What kind of trouble do you get into at that age for something like that?
There was a lot of whoopings. I didn't get to go outside. It was a different era back then. So,
yeah.
You know, I didn't get to go outside. We didn't have internet or anything like that. So no Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo for a couple of weeks. I had to go back to the school and clean the hallways for about a month.
Wow.
And my mom would attend my classes just to make sure that I wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary.
So you got grounded, you got belted, you couldn't play Sonic the Hedgehog. After all is said and done, is it worth it, though? Probably not, right?
206-803-ROCK. Bob from Tacoma, when did you have to apologize on behalf of your kid?
Morning, gang. Well, when my daughter was about 3 years old, she was all excited about going to the theater and sitting in the seat by herself. And so we went to go see Jungle Book, and she sat in the seat, and unfortunately the seat folded up. And next thing I know, I looked over and she's looks like a pretzel in that seat. So I held the seat down with my knee, and halfway through the movie, all of a sudden she's like, "Dad, can I sit in your lap?" And I'm like, "Okay." So I put her in my lap, and she goes, "I don't feel." And before the words could come out of her mouth, she turned her head and projectile vomited all over the lady and her son next to us. And she got it on me and herself and everything. But the lady was really cool. She offered to take my daughter into the bathroom and get her all cleaned up and everything. So, yeah, the lady was so cool about it. But it looked like a scene from The Exorcist. It was almost scary.
It's like a 4D movie, but not the kind of 4D movie you want to be a part of.
I mean, it's bad when you get your puke on yourself.
Yeah.
Your own puke on yourself. It's a little worse when it's your kid's puke. But to have a complete stranger's vomit on you, like, no thanks.
And props to the lady. I don't know. I mean, you would hope that everybody could handle it because it's a kid. But, I mean, props to her for having that kind of patience. And then be willing to be like, "Hey, I'll help your kid clean it up."
Oh, my God. That makes me gag in my mouth a little bit just thinking about it.
Buy that lady a bucket of popcorn.
Absolutely. She deserves it.
Absolutely.
Earned it.
You want to do one more?
Let's do Sandra from Yelm. Sandra, tell us about the time you had to apologize on behalf of your kid.
I had to apologize on behalf of my kid, only to find out it was not even my kid who did it.
What happened?
We were living on post in Texas, and I got a knock on the door, opened it. It's a police officer with my son, and said, "Your son was caught destroying somebody's Christmas decorations." Took me over to that parent's yard. I apologized up and down. I paid for the stuff that was broken. And when I get home and I'm talking to my son, he's like, "Mom, I didn't break it. Somebody else did that, and I was trying to fix it and put it back." So I apologized and paid and was humiliated in front of my neighbor with a police officer on military base, and my son had nothing to do with it.
It is impressive that you...
He was just trying to be nice.
You had to apologize to every single person, including your own child. That's impressive. Don't you think?
Go down the checklist.
The Daily Mix Show.
Rockaholics, were you listening to the cheat sheet on the men's room yesterday at 7:50 by any chance? Because we gave out three of the correct answers for the next game of Beat Migs. And if you'd like to play, give us a call now, 206-803-ROCK. We will play Beat Migs at 7:50.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.